Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, the mercy endures forever. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just come in so thankful. Lord, we're so thankful that you have redeemed this time. Oh, God, thank you. You're the one that gives us that encouragement. Go redeem the time. Lord, to make it count. Lord, that it would be to the praise and the glory of your grace. Lord, how could we not but sing and praise you and speak in such glad rejoicing the things which we have seen and heard. Lord, I thank God for the Holy Ghost and, Lord, the enlightened eyes of understanding. Oh, praise your name. Lord, we peer into the deep things of your heart. God, as you take us along, Lord, and, Lord, it's a journey. We know, God, that there are many setbacks in life. There are many things that we would call fearful and, Lord, things that are just unsurmountable. But, Lord, with everyone, we come in the name above all names. And we thank the Lord for the word of God that says, but God. And thank the Lord that it begins after that who is rich in mercy. And Lord, it never stops. It's something you have given us completely, completely opposed to what we deserved. The wondrous love and grace and mercy of the Lord. Lord, help us to just thank you for it today. Lord, all you want is our praise. You want us to draw nigh in full assurance to believe that your word is true. That, Lord, these things, praise God, that we'll read today and hear, they were written for us. Quicken our hearts, Lord God, what we mean to you. Help us to awaken, God, not to serve our belly or the rudiment things of this earth. But, God, we're eternal. We're of God. We're born of him. We are now the sons of God. Lord, help us, Lord, to see where we are seated in the heavens in Christ. Thank you again that your promises are yea and amen. Thank you, mighty God, wonderful Savior. In your name, Jesus, we give you all the praise. Amen. Praise be to God. Well, I kind of told you on Wednesday night, and you should open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. And Lord willing, over the next three Sundays, if the Lord tarry, I believe there'll be three parts to this. Specifically going to hone in on this seventh verse. But what God brought out in that Bible study just so ravished my heart in studying and preparing. It just could not be told in one time together. Matter of fact, it can never be told. Hallelujah. It's completely unexhaustible, praise his name. Let's begin reading it from the fourth verse, and this is Brother Paul speaking to the Philippian saints. These precious saints, mind you, are ones that are the fully purposed of heart. These are the ones that the Lord speaks of in the third chapter of Revelation. The church of Philadelphia, you'll find there that they in Smyrna, of those seven churches, speak of those as the ones that are the full overcomers. See, we thank the Lord for the body of Christ, but there is a rib portion. There is a portion of believers by the grace of God that are not asleep in the night. Just as Adam was shown that he was sleeping, God put the sleep to come upon him. As that rib portion was taken out of him to make the wife, it wasn't the same way. It was a different way. That he took that rib portion, that portion closest to the heart, a very small portion while Adam was asleep, to bring forth the wife. Now, brothers and sisters, we're in that time. Paul is speaking to those that are quickened in that gospel. Paul is speaking to those that it says about that Philadelphia church. It's the church that's shown and made known. They are the ones that are kept from the tribulation. They're the ones that are kept from that hour of temptation. It says that those are the ones, praise God, that it says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. We thank the Lord that we see so sweetly that those are ones that are in first love. They've received that bridal message. You see there in the church of Ephesus, in those seven churches as well too, which is something so tragic. as the Lord tells about that Ephesus church, it says, oh, there's great faith, there's great things, all of the wonderful works of the Lord that's been done to these believers and in their lives. But the Lord says, but yet I have one thing against you, one thing against you. And that one thing was you have left your first love. This message, brothers and sisters, are to those that know that first love. This message is to those that are abiding in that first love. And I'll tell you what, this message is definitely to those that have left their first love. It's time to draw back in believing and in that harmony and fellowship, praise God, of this first love gospel. Let's go ahead and read from verse 4. Paul says of these saints, always and in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship. This was the joy, was your fellowship in the gospel from the first day. There was a 14 year, as we saw, 14 year from the first day that he came and ministered to them to the moment that he's writing this letter to them from this jail. And remember, he's writing this letter to them in this horrible jail. This joy book of the Bible that's coming forth is coming forth to these precious saints. And why? Because they are still in the fellowship from the first day until now of the gospel that Paul brought to them. Being confident of this very thing because of that gospel that they're dwelling in. Being confident of that gospel and that dwelling in that gospel, of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Notice who's performing it, amen? Notice who's doing the work, amen? Notice who is the one, praise God, that is the author and finisher of your faith. It's him. Now he goes on to say, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Paul makes this statement that you, Philippian saints, are the partakers of my grace. He never makes that statement anywhere else in the Word of God to any other company or group of people. Because of what we just read and all of the evidence of what was going forth, Paul could say, you laid hold of the grace that I saw. I made that grace my own. It had to be my own. I had to take that grace, that wonderful mercy of the Lord, to grow up into this readied vessel that will receive that exalted crown of righteousness. But as Paul said, not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And it's the same grace. Praise his name. Now, all I can say in looking at this is, isn't our Jesus amazing? Isn't he just wonderful? I love him so because of his faithfulness. I love him so. His loyalty is beyond understanding. I don't get it. I tell him not to be, but he just is. I said, I've blown it so bad and failed so big. Lord, why do you still love me? I know better. Oh, but God, who's rich in mercy. And it said, in his great love wherewith we are loved. Oh my, you gave us everything. Praise his name. But see, brothers and sisters, his promise of his love, his promises, praise God, will perform. And that means to finish. That means complete. That means perfect. That means accomplish. And it's not just, and I love how the Lord is so gracious and so humble in what he says, the good work which I've begun. That good work in the Greek, praise the Lord, it means the most excellent thing. Now, why was he confident that the most excellent thing was going to be performed in them? Because they were staying with the gospel of Paul. That's what was so beautiful and just popped out on the page. As we rejoiced on Wednesday night, we say it often, that it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Well, sure he will. He's faithful to his word. But what this is specifically speaking of is what's in verse 5, brothers and sisters. And what's in verse 5 is the fellowship in Paul's gospel from the first day until now. And that's why Paul can say, I'm confident because of that gospel that was given to me. The divine grace gospel, the gospel of the glory, his wife, the bride of the Lamb. Because of that gospel, it's going to perform the most excellent thing. It can't help but perform that. It's like we spoke earlier today. If you plant beans, you'll get beans. If you want corn, you plant corn. It's that simple. If you want to be in the bride of Christ by the grace of God, it best be Paul's gospel. Or you're not going to get it. That was the mystery. That was this divine grace that was given to him. The dispensation that was brought forth. I talk to people often and they say, oh, well, that just means that, you know, people are saved by grace in this age. People have always been saved by grace. What do you think? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's faith. How do you get faith? Faith comes by grace. It's grace through faith. It's always been grace. It's always been the blood. They looked for the Savior to come. Praise God, we know that the Savior has come. But it's that same sacrifice. It's that same blood. But this grace and its magnitude that's poured out in this age. Once again, as Jesus said to those disciples, I have many things to say unto you. And think of how he loved those disciples. He was with them for 3.5 years, pretty much day and night. I want to tell you things. Oh, I love you so. Could you imagine? Just the longing for that fellowship that he had to have with them even at that moment. But he knew the plan of God. And he said, oh, honey, I'm going to go. And they didn't even understand why he was going to go, even though he had told them for 3.5 years why he was going to go. They really weren't listening. Because they needed something to really listen. They really needed something to hear the depth of the heart of God. And he said, oh, I have many things to tell you. But you can't understand them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Ghost, he will guide you into all truth. He went on to say, he's with you. He's with you. See, every child of God that accepts Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Ghost has to come to you to receive the Lord. Know that. That's absolute. That's the Word of God. But as Jesus said, he's with you because you're born again. Every child of God that is born again, the Holy Ghost, in that sense, is with them to minister that part of salvation. But then Jesus said, and he shall be in you.
Lord, hallelujah.
And then we had Pentecost. And the power came down. And even Jesus said that. I must go to the Father. Why? Because if I don't go to him, I can't send you the Holy Ghost. So I'm going to the Father to send you the Holy Ghost. And once you get filled with that Holy Ghost, honey, oh, it just all begins. Oh, all truth is set right there. You're going to have an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You're going to go, yea, into the deep things of God by my Spirit if you want it. Now, there are people that are filled with the Holy Ghost. I want you to know that, but they're not hearing truth. And remember, without the word of his grace and it preached, you'll never have anything to build you up. You'll have all of that zeal. You'll have all of that excitement. But you won't have the knowledge. We must have this gospel. That's why Paul is saying so clearly here, it's because you stayed in what I gave you from the first day until now. And this is what was so sweet. You know, when he went in there, and this is, he's speaking here of Lydia. Remember that woman, Lydia?
You know, she loved the Lord. She went down and prayed to God. She worshiped God. She was a good Christian. But it said she received the message of Paul. There's more. Don't stop. There's more. Now, brothers and sisters, as we look at these four verses together, it leaves no doubt there is one thing that's being spoken of here. And that's the performance in us of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. See, the completion, hallelujah, of this wonderful message, this finishing and perfecting of the divine grace, the height of agape love in us. That's what this gospel will do as we dwell in it and continue to hear it. As it says in the word of God, give the more earnest heed to the things which ye have heard, lest at any time ye should let them slip. And I thank the Lord, it's new every morning. I get that. And we receive this wonderful truth. And I'll tell you what, we'll be of that company that will be presented to Jesus Christ as the Lamb's wife. That's what's assured. Now, Wednesday night, we saw very clearly that verse 5, the high calling performing is only possible by staying in Paul's gospel. From the beginning until now. By the grace of God to dwell in it. By the grace of God to not move from it. As the word of God says, continue in strong meat. Paul went out of his way to tell those churches that he had went to speak to, whether it was the church of Corinth, whether it was the church of the believers that were there in Hebrews, he had to kind of say, hey, look, I got to rebuke what's going on here. You've left this precious gospel. You're going and searching into other things. You're not preaching the strong meat. As he said to him, I've got to bring you back into milk when you should be teaching the meat. But you don't want that, so I've got to begin back with milk with you. Brothers and sisters, we better take heed to what's going on. I thank the Lord that we know here, verse 7, as we're going to settle into right now, is the evidence of these Philadelphia saints that live right now that are awaiting to be presented to Jesus Christ as his wife. And as we read through that verse 7, I pray you receive this. There's three things that Paul just completely comes forth. And again, we know this is the Holy Ghost. You see the three things? He says, I have you in my heart. I have you in my bonds. Isn't that wonderful? And in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. So we have the heart, we have love. We have the bonds which speak of suffering. And then in the defense of the gospel, we have the stand. These are the things that will come forth and be made manifest in those by the grace of God that what? That are partakers of Paul's grace. It won't be anything else. It'll be the same thing. That's why the word of God says, follow Paul as he followed Christ. Paul said, in like manner, you're going to suffer the same things as I did. You think you're going to skate through here differently? Oh, no, you're not. If you're going to reign with him, you're going to suffer with him. And praise be to God, it's going to be a joyful suffering because of the love that you're going to see, because of the grace that you received, which was my grace. You're going to be thankful and you're going to stand, you're going to withstand, and having done all, you're going to stand. And there's ones that are going to look at you and say, you're crazy. They're going to look at you and say, why are you doing this? But let me tell you something. When you're that chosen vessel unto God, he will separate you unto himself. He's going to make known to all that he has loved you. And today as we go into this first one, the heart, it begins, I have you in my heart. Do you see that it's all love? Do you see that nothing can ever get off the ground with God into the deep things of God without the Holy Ghost love? It has to be shed abroad in your heart. It can't be any other way. Without the Holy Ghost making known to you the deep love of Christ for you, you're not going to soar in this wonderful, wonderful proposal. I think of how many times I hear, I need more faith. Well, you want great faith? I'll tell you what, you want faith so real, you want faith assured in this bridal message? You need to know the love of Christ. I often hear, and I heard it again this week, I just want to hear practical. I want to hear practical. I want to hear practical. Let me tell you something practical. There's a long line for practical, and they hand you palms. And you can be a palm waver going after practical. Be after knowing the love of Christ. It will perform everything for your life. I thank the Lord for that simplicity of faith. Just believe God. I didn't know how to do anything. I still don't know how to do anything. Ask my wife. You saw the announcement fiasco that we had a minute ago. But honestly, it's so sweet. All the things that the Lord brought me into my life, I realize it's all Him. I grew up in a family. I thought, okay, I'm maybe going to be doing this or this. And the Lord brought me into music. We were kind of musical, but not that. But then it got pretty serious. We didn't know a stitch about it. I remember one time going to a competition, and I was just a young kid. I was in, a sophomore in high school. And they had a big old event, and I could enter it. It was with all of the college kids to sing. Mom remembers this very well. We didn't know a thing about it. This voice teacher that I just started taking from, I think you should sing in that. I went and sang in it. Well, how'd I do? Well, he wasn't there, and I left. I asked my mom, well, how'd I do? I don't know, honey. They were a lot older than you. So what did I do? I went to a baseball game. And we didn't have cell phones at that time, but we did have a voice recorder. Well, I was supposed to be up there that night to sing in the finals, and I missed it. My point is that I didn't know anything about this, but God did. He provided that, and I walked in it. Then I was taking a little lap around the lake in Germany, and the Lord said, honey, this isn't for you. I cannot tell you how I didn't sit there and wrestle with God. He didn't have to throw my hip out. I thank the Lord. I learned from my brother Jacob. I said, okay. And you know what happened? Went back to the U.S. I didn't really know what to do, but I thanked the Lord. The Lord, I remember something. Honor thy father and mother is unto the Lord. Dad, what do you think? Why don't you go back to school? They'll pay for it if you sing. So I went back to school, and by the grace of God, I started studying business. The only thing I had done in business, to be honest with you, was sell firecrackers and pencils. That's the truth. And I can say this to you by the grace of God, and I'm only boasting in the Lord. 18 years later, I sold a multi-million dollar company. But it was because the Lord had a new chapter. He said, I want you to be a pastor. Now that was at the bottom of the list. Love the Lord. Thank God walking with Him. But I've known my whole life. I don't know anything. And that can be really fearful. Especially when you're insecure. Especially when, people don't know who you really are. And they may think something because they see. But God knows me. Brothers and sisters, we need to hear this message. And He's built you to know it. Perfect. You got two beautiful natures in you. An old and a new. Spoke to somebody a couple weeks ago, and they said, oh, that old nature's got to be gone, root and branch. I remember Brother Hill saying that. Never heard that in a long time. I thought, how foolish to say that. That's the beauty of the Lord and what He's done in our lives. Without that nature, there'd be no good fight of faith. Without that nature, there'd be no need to see I need mercy, grace. I understand so sweetly as I yield to the Spirit, I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But that didn't mean that flesh left me. It's always there. It's always present. But I've got something greater that's in me. See, I want to be head over heels in this. You know what I'm saying? I want to be swimming deep in this message. I want to never stop growing in this message. And I'll tell you what, then you'll really begin not just to believe, but you'll know that Jesus is in love with you. See, these saints became so aware of this mercy and grace and this love because it was the same grace as Paul, that Jesus must have me for his wife. See, I know that. That's the message. I'm going to have my wife. And I believe he said to me, because I've heard this message, Jesse, I must have you. I must have you. That's how special you are. He does not, his word does not return void unto him. If you'll just respond to this, he'll perform it. I love how he says, praise God, to my heart, son, it's the faith in my love. Have faith in my love. That's what wins me. Don't doubt my love. It's not in your actions, but faith in my love. Isn't that really how you got saved in the first place? Think about it. Wasn't it God so loved the world that he gave? Wasn't it Jesus? I have faith in your love that you died for me. And it never changes. Paul's gospel opens the hidden mystery of this great undeserved bridal love in the Word. Yeah, I love it. Let's just get specific. It unlocks, it causes you to see this great undeserved bridal love in the Word of God. It makes known to you the heart of Jesus for you, does it not? Without a doubt. It makes known to you his deep love and his deep passion for you. Through Paul's gospel, you'll know that he is faithful to that love. He abides faithful. He is always true. He is the lover that never leaves. He'll tell you in Scripture if you've left that first love, but he doesn't move. And at the end of every one of those salutations to those churches, what does he tell them? Get out of it. Come on. Come unto me. Huh? Come on, I want you in first love. I want that fellowship. That's all he wants with us, brothers and sisters. His loyalty is outstanding. In Paul's gospel, you know his love is true. And you know that that grace, that all-powerful grace is what does it. And that all grace, as it says in 2 Corinthians 9, is always there to perform it in you. See, if you're sitting here today and you're saying, hey, this isn't being performed in me, it's because you're not completely confident in counting on grace to do it. You're still trying to do it. And if you're trying to do it, it'll never happen. Grace, he's already given it. Amen? You've already been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Do you not believe that all those spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ would also include the performing of the bridal truth in your life? It is so all there. Amen. It is so given completely. Amen. And I thank God for this. It's so wonderful. I was thinking, has anybody ever fallen in love with you before? Not like you thought they did, but I mean really did. I'm just teasing. Can you tell really why they did? There were a lot of people to fall in love with. Why was it you? Why is it you? Why is it you? The word of the Lord says, I'll have grace upon whom I'll have grace. I'll have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. I never asked Polly why she fell in love with me. I didn't want to hear that answer. I just thank the Lord. A lot of people wondered why. A lot of people are still wondering why. But I'm it. I've had a lot of Christians in my life. They don't like a lot of the things that the Lord has me to say and how much He loves me. But I'm it. He wouldn't give you this gospel if you weren't it. He wouldn't have cut through all of, if you will, the winds of doctrine. If you weren't it. There's no way you could have got to this point. You think about your heritage and your families and all the things about your life. You wouldn't be here this morning hearing this if you weren't it. Amen. Jesus said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. What a statement. Most don't get it. Most think somehow that means I got to go do something. I encourage you, rightfully divide the word of God. What does a lily do? It doesn't toil. It's just got it. What does a little lump of clay do on the wheel? Zero. I love how the word of God says, if I am his workmanship, then what do I do? The answer is nothing. Nothing. If you love me, you'll keep my words means you will. If you love me, you'll believe my words. That's what it means. Do you believe you're arrayed like the lily? If you don't, you're not believing the word of God. He told you you're a little Lord of all. You're born a king. You weren't born a pauper when you're born of God. You're born to rule and reign jointly together with Him. You weren't born as something that, well, you get to just, you know, kind of stand on the outside. No. He always saw the intent for you to rule and to reign jointly with Him. That's why He gave you one life. The very life of His Son. The stature, the fullness, the measure, all of that capacity is there. If you love me, you'll keep my words. It means you will believe my words. It means you will cherish my words. It means, I love this, it's the same meaning. You'll hold fast. Think of the words you've been given. You've been given the words of Paul, which is the same as hold fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He never says in there about hold fast thy palm. He wants you to lay down a palm and he wants you to take the crown. Brothers and sisters, are we really confident as we close this? Are we confident? Think of this statement in the word of his grace. Brother Paul, that's what his last commendation to those fully purposed Philadelphia saints that were in Ephesus. I commend you to the word of his grace. It's everything. It'll build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Nothing else. It was just that. Bam, I give you, I commend you to the word of his grace. I commend you to the word of his unmerited favor. I commend you to the word of his unmerited love. Huh? Now, do we really know that we have it all? Do we really know that we have it all in full capacity, that we have it always, forever, it never changes, and that it's always unmerited and never earned? That it is His heart, that it is His love, that it is His grace is what holds you in it.
He's the one that holds you in this. He is the one that keeps me in this. He is the one that nourishes me in this. He is the one that forgives me all the way along and builds me up and gives me the vision of his heart that he has prepared and provided everything for me to win him. But we must know this. Amen? We must know this just like those wonderful Gentile brides that we just got through studying. The heart of the husband loved them. There were many virgins. There were many daughters. But they were chosen out from all the others. They didn't deserve it. They didn't earn it. They were really all outcasts. They didn't even really know why. But the one thing consistent with all of them, but I'm it. I stand here today, and you know one thing I know? I am my beloved's. I know that. I know that. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. And I say back to him, my beloved is mine. And I am his. We're it. You know that. By the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, I am grateful to God that, again, your great grace, we are the elect of God. Thank you, Lord, again, for that wonderful mercy. Lord, we just, again, want to be vessels to the praise and the glory of your grace. Lord, that we just rejoice in this mercy. Lord, help every life here today hearing this word. Let us be bold, bold, bold in the great love wherewith we are loved. Lord, help us to quit looking upon ourselves. Looking upon the events. Don't let us be like the Shulamite who missed the moment that you came to the door because she's looking at her trials. Lord, that we have divine ordered steps. Oh, hallelujah. Every bit of our lives, Lord God, is for one thing, the purpose of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, help our unbelief, Lord God. Increase our faith. Lord, just increase the knowledge of your love in our lives. And oh, what a ready bunch we will be for a meeting in the air. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, he's wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Brother, do you have a song? 95 in the grace and glory. And I do encourage you, come up and thank him today. Thank him with your brethren. Thank him for your brethren. Thank him for this wonderful company, little band of saints that loves him so. Praise God. God willing, I hope to see you tonight. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.